Burt Show.
You know what the worst kind of test for a husband or a wife is? The test where you don't know you're being tested, or the one that has been being labeled an experiment.
It wasn't a test. I wasn't testing him.
You mean you haven't been testing him and still testing him?
No.
Experimenting.
It was research.
Okay.
So I'm doing marital research.
You're awfully enthusiastic in your research this morning, telling Cassie about it off air.
Call me a scientist. This is science. All right. What had happened was, and Cassie is the only one that's been in the know and on this ride with me. Let's go back to January 16th when this experiment started.
Does your husband have any idea this experiment started on January 16th?
None.
Okay.
January 16th of this year?
Yes.
Okay.
He is an unknowing participant in said experiment.
This is an oddly specific day.
Yeah, because I got receipts. I got text messages because, like I said, I've been texting Cassie the experiment updates. I'm starting to feel bad.
No, don't. Okay. You are justified in all of this.
Okay, here we go. So we have a fake Christmas tree, but I like to get real wreaths in the house. So I have that pine smell, right? And so we have like this big 4-foot wreath that's in our sunroom. And then I got a couple of small wreaths on our sconces. And then I got a wreath for the door. So we got 4 wreaths, 2 small, 1 medium, 1 large. And it's January. These puppies are drying out because of the heat running in the house. So we remove them and they get tossed in the front yard. Literally open the front door, toss them right into the front yard.
Okay.
And that's where they sat.
Right next to the car that's on all blocks?
No, it's not next to the car.
It's behind the toilet.
Okay. Yes.
We never had a toilet in our front yard. We only had a sink for a hot minute, but whatever.
You didn't have one in your side yard that you sold for cash back in the day?
That was a different house.
How about the freezer that's on the patio?
There's no freezer. So these wreaths are piled up in the front yard. Then we had that big snow. Snow covered them so you couldn't see them. Then the snow melted and there the wreaths were. Every single day as I walked in the house and walked out the house, these dried up, crappy looking wreaths. And I was fed up. So I took said wreaths myself. And walked them.
You mean got your hands dirty?
I did.
Shocking. Oh, my God.
I grabbed the wreaths and I walked down the stairs.
All of them?
There's
like 4 of them. I've been to your house.
her stairs at her house like Mount Kilimanjaro.
What?
They are never ending. I feel like I'm climbing the Great Wall of China every time I go in through your front door.
Are you talking the front door?
Dude, yes. Do you know how often I roll my ankle? Those stairs are a hazard.
I will count. There's at least a dozen to get up to the front door.
Maybe a baker's dozen.
So I walk them down the stairs one by one, and I walk across the driveway next to our neighbor's fence, and I prop them on the fence behind the garbage bins, all right? Our recycling bin and our garbage bin. So now the large, medium, and small wreaths are behind the garbage bins, all right? So that happened on February 6th.
And I think it's important to establish whose job is it usually to do garbage.
Oh, that's Bart does garbage. All right. So January 16th, I move the wreaths from the front yard to the garbage bins, right? And I'm like, surely they're behind the garbage. They eventually, they will get thrown away. I don't need to say anything because they're like, it's obvious. Fast forward February 6th. They are still behind the garbage cans. I know this because I sent a picture to Cassie to give her a little giggle. She was going through a rough patch. Well, her whole life is a rough patch. But I sent her this, and I'm like, here for a giggle. And there are those. Now they're turning brown, like these dried out wreaths. Fast forward to March 5th.
Oof.
March 5th, they are still behind the garbage cans. How do I know this? Because I sent a video to Cassie as I was walking past the wreaths and I flipped them the bird because they are still there up against the neighbor's fence. Fast forward to yesterday, March 11th. I sent my husband a text. Not asking him to throw away the wreaths because that was the experiment. Like, surely he will, he'll get rid of these.
So your experiment in your head is how long will it take him?
Yes.
After I asked him.
No, okay. I never asked.
Okay.
I was they were in the front yard. and then they were behind the garbage cans. So now January 16th to March 11th.
Mm-hmm. And okay. It's his job.
She said it was obvious.
What do you mean it's his job?
Because he's in charge of trash.
Yeah.
That's why I wanted to establish that, because anybody could do it. But if you've agreed, like, in the division of household duties, and that's your job and your role to do it, and Kristen's already taken him down and moved him over, then it's his job.
But he's very particular. So he's not just going to throw the wreaths away. He's going to, like, undo the wire, take out, like, he's I love him. He's weird. All right.
He's very thorough.
Thorough.
I would say that. He's done work on my house, and he was there for a month and a half.
Yes, he's thorough. So I sent him a text yesterday. Does that yard team that works on the neighbor's yard also work on ours? They're at Alex's right now. He said, probably. To which I respond, is it rude to ask them to haul off the wreaths and give them a tip to do so? To which he responds, I will take care of them today. So it wasn't until I threw out me getting another man to do the job that he jumped in and said, I will take care of them today.
Did he take care of them?
Well, here's the thing. I didn't go back outside because he did it like early evening yesterday. And This morning it was too dark. So I will know today when I pull in the driveway whether or not they actually did get taken care of. But again, it wasn't until I threatened another man to come in and take care of it that he was like, I'll take care of them today.
It's hard to defend that. That's pretty solid.
Not a test, just an experiment.
It was just an experiment. Okay, Dr.
Very
Kristen.
Very long, drawn-out experiment.
I don't know what we learned, but it was an experiment.
It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
I'd like to do my friend Kristen a solid this morning. Every now and then, to be honest with you, they're very self-serving segments, but we like to hear from you guys that have it worse than us to make our situation seem better, okay? Earlier this morning, I was talking to you guys about the almost hour and a half drive it took me from Roswell to North Cumming yesterday. I couldn't believe there was so much traffic in, like, the cusp of Dawsonville. I can't believe, like, if I'm going to move out that way, it's going to be because I don't have to deal with traffic. Those days are over, apparently, right? So a whole bunch of you guys called in. You said, oh, you think that's bad? Man, I'm in my car for 3 hours a day going from here to here. Did make me feel better about it. Now I'd like to do the same for Kristen, who was just complaining.
I wasn't complaining. I was giving you the results of my experiment.
Right. The results of her experiment.
Tomato, tomato.
Which I know many of you women have had the same frustrating experiment in your house. I would like you to detail this frustrating experiment to make Kristen feel better. So what has your husband been tasked to do or volunteered to do, but either never got to or took 3 months or 4 months, and maybe it's still even not done? 1-855-BIRD-SHOW.
Or maybe you haven't set, like, it's not a task. It's like an expectation because it's under the umbrella of his responsibilities. So you feel like if it's in front of your face, you shouldn't have to say something, because once again, that adds something to your mental load, your emotional load, that not only does this need to be done, but I have to ask for it to be done. So it's under his umbrella of responsibility. Mm-hmm. This is something he should do.
So it's not something that even needed to be asked about.
Correct.
Because if you're putting together a task list around the house, his has all that stuff and yours is breathe.
Exactly. So it's an unspoken responsibility.
Okay.
So it doesn't need to be said. It just needs to be done.
So I've heard women complain about this in the past. Like, he started working on the shower and didn't realize how complicated it was going to be. Now we can't even shower in our master shower anymore. We got to go somewhere else. And it's been 6 months. You hear about this all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just these things that haven't been done that he promised he was going to do.
And I feel like we're setting the bar very low here. 2 months. 2 months to throw away four wreaths.
Yep.
We started January 16th. And we ended yesterday. Maybe. I will know today for sure when I go home and see if they actually did get dismantled and thrown away.
All right, 1-855-BIRD-SHOW. Dana, make Kristen feel better.
My husband bought me a mirror 2 years ago for Christmas, and it's still leaning against the wall.
Oh, come on. 2 years.
2 years. So do you guys have to pass that mirror every single day that's leaning against the wall?
Every single day.
Yeah.
It's a wall mirror now.
Walk in the door.
Now, is it just at an angle now where he thinks it just looks better down there than it does hung up?
Yeah, Oh, no.
Okay. Nope, just lazy.
Earl, I will tell you the fastest way to get that mirror hung is whenever you want something done, if you've waited too long, just tell them you're going to go do it yourself. But not passive aggressive. Like, yeah, walk up with the nail and hammer, or even better, walk up with like a screwdriver or a drill and some nails, like, yeah, stuff that doesn't go together, and say, I'm going to hang the mirror. And that man, mm-hmm, will move so fast and your mirror will get hung.
Hey, Leslie, good morning. You're part of the Burt Show.
Hey, how's it going, y'all?
Good. All right. Help Kristen out here. What has been your frustration?
So about a year ago, my husband and I were changing our master bedroom around. It changed from an adjustable bed mattress to a regular one. And so we have two separate box springs that are twin size that are literally leaning against my windows in my master bedroom for 12 months. And my father and I teased him when it happened because we wagered him it would take him longer than a month or two. And he was like, you two are ridiculous.
And here it is, 1 year later.
I think this is very, like, just listening to Leslie's voice, I feel like this is very cathartic.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. They've been waiting to get this off.
Yeah, this, mm-hmm, needed to be like, you can just feel like the load lifting off their shoulders, being able to scream this from the mountaintop.
The way she said, 12.
I think what you're hearing is apathy. Like, I'm just resolved, like, it's never going to get done. Good morning, Carolyn.
Good morning, guys. Love you guys.
Thank you for listening.
So my husband has a terrible habit of not taking the garbage out. And you have I have one of those garbage cans that has the foot pedal. You have no idea how many times I've had something in my hand, gone to put my foot on that pedal and open it up, and there it is, full. Mm.
And this is every week?
Almost every week.
Yeah, it's the same thing with my son. He's got one chore in the house.
Yeah, but one's 17, another one's 45.
Is there really that big of a difference?
No.
No.
Here is Paige. Paige, good morning. What is supposed to have been done so quickly, and you're still waiting?
So I had a baby 6 months ago. Of course, we did the nursery almost start of the year. We come home from the baby shower and we're unpacking everything, and my husband bumps into the door, and there is still a hole in my child's nursery that he has yet to pack.
Oh my God.
And that was how long ago now?
Almost about 8 to 9 months ago.
8 to 9 months.
The kid's going to be graduating high school before that hole in the wall's fixed.
Oh, we can double that. 8 to 9 months is nothing. Hey, Angie, good morning. You're on the Burt Show.
Hey, so I have been trying to get my husband, he's the father of my two younger children, to finish the flooring that was started 2 years ago.
Oh my God.
So all throughout my house, you see plywood and you see some planks.
You laugh.
A lot of boxes of flooring in my garage.
Yeah, Angie, you laugh so you don't cry, don't you, babe? It's one of those hysterically angry laughs.
Cry. Mm-hmm. Or do it yourself.
Okay.
Or tell him you're going to call another man to do it.
That works every time.
That's what happened with me. Y'all going to do what the single ladies do. I just call TaskRabbit. Like, you get on, you find some random man to do the work for you. You just have to pay him.
All right, okay, this is going to, I think, be our last one here. Hey, we're going to go way past 2 years. Hey, Angie, good morning.
Hi.
Okay, what's the job and how long have you been waiting for it to get done?
Okay, so in March of 2020, I bought a ceiling fan to go in my bedroom. It's still in the floor in my bedroom. Sometimes my daughter, she'll come in there and sleep in my room, and I'm like, what are you doing? And she's like, I'm sleeping with my biggest fan.
Oh, my God. Okay. 5 years.
Now, is it in the box, yes, or is it just an open fan that has been, nope, sitting in the room for 5 years?
Brand new, still in the box.
Still in the box.
5 years.
Oh. I wouldn't call that brand new anymore. It's been 5 years. Right. It's vintage now.
The Burt Show. Think about a situation where one of your best friends accidentally gets you fired. How would you handle that?
Accidentally gets you fired?
Yep, they didn't mean to do it, but what they did, their actions caused for you to probably be fired.
So they accidentally walked into HR's office when they thought it was somebody else's and narked on me.
Not exactly. Okay. So let me explain. My lady's friend is in a tough spot, and it's all because she does not know how to say no. And she was going on a work trip. The work trip is in a really nice location. I forget the location, but it's a nice place to go. So her best friend, she calls her best friend to tell her about this work trip and how excited she is. And her best friend immediately is like, oh, my God, I want to come with. Can I come with you? She really didn't want her to come because it wasn't that kind of trip, obviously.
Why didn't she say no?
That's what I would never understand, because when I got this story from my lady, it was like, this is a no-brainer. Tell her no, it's a work trip. The conversation's over. It's done.
Right.
And she was like, she just didn't feel right telling her no. And I guess in her defense, her best friend is going through a lot, and she's going through a divorce, and she's in a lonely place at the time. So she just saw it as she was trying to find a way to, I guess, keep herself busy and entertained so she doesn't have her mind on all the things going wrong.
Okay. Is this about to be a story of no good deed goes unpunished?
Absolutely it is.
Yeah.
So she doesn't want to tell her no. She ends up letting her come on the trip. In talking to my lady about it, she's like, look, I have to work one of the days. The other day I'm free. We'll have the free day. As long as we're not out the night before I have to give up and get this big presentation, we'll be fine. So she really didn't see, like, how can it really go wrong, even though she really didn't want her to come.
Mm-hmm.
So she lets her come, and they have this plan to where she gets there, and they're not going to do anything. They're just going to kind of go to sleep. She has a big presentation the day after they get there in the morning. She's going to prepare for that. She's going to give her presentation, and then they pretty much have the rest of the day to do whatever they want to do. What could possibly go wrong?
It seems pretty foolproof.
Right. So where I thought the first part of it, where I was like, maybe this is a man and a woman thing, the difference of how this would have been handled, I'm certainly not getting the same room. That would have been the first difference.
Oh, no, you're saving money. Like, yeah, of course we're going to share the same room, because that's the whole point of coming on the trip.
So
because the company's paying for the hotel room. So now your friend gets to ride for free.
Bingo. So she's like, free trip, right? Yep. Okay, cool. So they share a room. And as my lady's telling me this story, I am trying to put together already how she could possibly have put her in a situation to where she almost gets fired. And I just couldn't think of one. I'm like, I just cannot imagine what could go wrong. So apparently what happened was, so she's giving, like, this is, I don't know her company dynamic, but I know that whatever presentation she's giving is pretty much like make or break for not only her, but maybe for this company. It's that big of a deal, whatever she's presenting to the clients that they're presenting it to. So she's presenting this on her iPad. So I guess at this point, her iPad is everything. That's where all the information is. That's where all of everything that she's prepped. It's ready to go. For whatever reason, I guess the friend decided to go out and have a couple of drinks. Even though she didn't, she stayed back at the hotel, was focused on her work the next day. But when the friend got back, she had this idea. She had a few drinks. She went out there and she had a night by herself. And she decided to set up the safe in the room. So thinking that she's doing her friend a solid.
No.
She puts the iPad in the safe with all of the jewelry and whatever else that she put in there.
Oh, no.
No.
When the friend got up in the morning, said, hey, girl, where's my iPad? The drunk friend, who's a little bit hungover, doesn't remember the code.
Oh. No.
She put the code in while she was hammered.
Oh, my God.
So the friend gets up at like 4 in the morning, like trying to find her iPad, can't find it. The friend is like, oh, it's in the safe. She tells her what she believes the pen is. The pen is not working. Friend gets out to bed. You're doing something wrong. She puts the pen in. Pen is not working. She was blacked out drunk. She don't remember the pen that she put in at this point. She thinks the safe is actually the safe. It's not her. It's like, she's like, no, this is the pen I use every single time. I know I use this pen. But either way, the friend is like, it doesn't matter. I have to go to work. I need my iPad like now. So they end up having to call someone to come in from the hotel room, which takes a while. It's super early in the morning. I guess the person that they had to call was off site.
Oh, Jesus.
So at this point, she cannot be there on time. There's no way she's going to make it.
Those things are a hassle. I had the same similar situation happen. And it's not just a matter of you putting in some random 000 code for security. It's way more complicated than that.
What she learned, like the guy actually has to come and open it up. Yeah. And it's a whole thing. So long story less long, it ends up taking them about 30 minutes to come and finally get it. She has to call her boss and say, like, what story do you even tell? She ends up just telling the truth.
And boss is obviously pissed. It's like, are you kidding me? This has to happen. You have to present with or without the iPad. Oof. So she ends up having to go to work, now has to present without the iPad,
oh my God.
Does a horrible job on the presentation.
Oh, no.
And now she doesn't know what's going to happen, but she's pretty sure that she's getting fired behind this. This is crazy because a friend didn't mean to do it.
Right.
But she did it.
Uh-huh. You did it. Yep. So I feel for her.
Her friend has to take accountability. The whole, like, they were supposed to get there and just chill in the hotel room and go to bed. Her friend did not do that and went out and got hammered, and that's what caused this.
And I'm sure she also feels bad about the fact that her friend is already going through so much in life that it's not your fault if you cut her off. She said they ended up leaving that day. Like, they didn't even stay the rest of the day. She was, as soon as she got back from work, they went back, and they have not spoke to each other since. So my lady doesn't even have the update of whether or not she got fired, because she's not talking to anybody right
now. See, this is the reason right here why I consciously made the effort about 6 years ago to just not do anything nice for anybody else. I'm way ahead on this.
I think you're onto something.
All right, Messy Mikey here is like a fish out of water in town now. Inside the perimeter is not normally his comfort zone, and he's finding out why.
Yeah, I don't know geography, but I've been riding MARTA. I like MARTA, I found out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's convenient. It's cheap.
And it's fun.
And just for some context here, you lived outside the perimeter all your life,
all
right?
All my life.
Okay, and now you're in Midtown.
I live in Midtown. Okay. And there's a MARTA station like 2 blocks away from my apartment.
Perfect.
So open Saturday, me and the lady and I, my grandpa got onto me, the lady and I,
yep.
we decided, let's jump on MARTA. Let's go down to Little Five Points. I hear it's weird and there's weird things to do. So
it's known for its weirdness.
Yeah. So we get on. I look at the map. I don't really know how to ride MARTA, but I go in and I look at the map. There's all those little dots. And I say, 5 points. There's a dot right there. I want to go to the 5 points. I don't know what in the heck is happening at the 5 points MARTA station. One of the weirdest places I've ever been in my life. The doors open. People run out. There was nobody was taking their time. They ran. They ran out of the station and then disappeared. We get up to the street level. It is a absolute ghost town. Nobody exists in this part of town. I thought this was Little 5 points. Turns out this is 5 points. Did you know there was a difference?
There's a big 5 points?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a big difference. Like two completely different places.
I've been here my entire, like, 25 years and didn't know this.
It was like there was relics of the Olympics past. Right whenever we got to the street, there was a girl just crying. There was tumbleweeds. I swear there was tumbleweeds coming down the street. It was a 50-minute scooter ride to get to the actual Little 5 points. One of the weirdest, not even scariest, just weirdest places I've ever been. There were like pigeons.
You open up the door and it's like the set of the rest of us.
Yeah, it was the weirdest place I've ever been.
5 points is very, very weird, and it's unsettling when you go, and I don't know why, because it feels kind of abandoned, but I lived right by Little 5, and they could not be more different.
Really?
It was very bizarre.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I didn't either. The name is a reference to 5 points, which is the center of downtown Atlanta. Little 5 points refers to the intersection at the center of the neighborhood.
That is good. I had no idea.
No, really didn't know they were two separate places.
So nobody has any business ever at 5 points.
Okay,
just so you know.
Get off on Little 5 points,
right.
Not 5 points.
That's right.
Got it. It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
First, we will celebrate here, and then I will allow you guys to have a good laugh at my expense through my son, okay?
Oh, this is one of my favorite things.
I know that'll excite you, all right? So I told you guys a couple of weeks ago that my son that goes to SCAD was going through his very first breakup, and it was really tough on him. So I left and just went down there and hung with him for a couple of days just to make sure he was okay. You guys remember that feeling, man, that very first breakup? God, just feels like the whole world is ending. God, you got those feelings in your chest. You wake up in the morning. She or he is the first thing that you think about all day long until one day you wake up and for 1 minute you didn't think about them. And then it's 2 minutes and it's 3 minutes. He was going through all that. And I'm like, man, I don't want him to do that by himself. So I get in the car and I go hang with him, right? Mm-hmm. So I've been checking with him, obviously, to make sure he's doing well. So I hit him with a text a few days ago, and it was, hey, how you feeling emotionally? And he said, I'm feeling a little bit better. And he also wrote, sorry this is late, because, you know, as kids do, you text them at 8 in the morning, they hit you back 2 days later. And he wrote, gonna head to set tomorrow because I got the lead in a student film. Oh,
nice. Congratulations.
That's awesome.
Now, that's a really big deal because, man, if you have any attachment to this industry at all, the film industry stage, you know that these auditions are brutal. And it is time and time again that you are getting turned down after turned down after turned down. And if you don't build some grit or have a really thick skin, it could really get to you.
And Hayden's been auditioning since he was little.
So much, man. Now, a lot of this is also political when it comes to colleges. They tend to hire the ones that they know, which is okay. You know, I understand it. That's how the industry works also.
You need connections, man.
And I think that he's learning that lesson also. But this one really needed to be celebrated because it was his first lead role. His first lead role. And this is his senior year. Could you believe he's graduating in 1 month?
Are you? Oh, wow.
Next month is over, man. He's heading back to Atlanta on Friday and then one semester left. So he gets his first lead role and I'm all excited about it, right? I'm like, oh my God, amazing. Congrats. Tell me all about it. This is so Hayden. I can't even believe it. Rebecca, you're going to love this. He just writes, horror movie, insecure guy, goes to a cabin in the woods with the girl he likes because he wants a wizard to take away all his insecurities so he can be worthy in his mind of being with the girl he likes. He talks to the wizard's assistant, eventually finds out there are people in the basement. Turns out the assistant is the wizard, but he's not a wizard. He's actually a demon. And the guy just accidentally made a deal with the devil. Demon creates a doppelganger of the guy without his insecurities, and the one and that one gets to go home with the girl while the real one stays trapped in the house forever.
Wow.
Okay.
And he writes, I'm the insecure guy. So he landed his first gig.
Congrats.
Which awesome. I thought was really, really great because for 4 years, man, I mean, I keep having to tell him over and over and over again, and I don't know that I would have had this grit. Even though the words were coming out of my mouth, getting turned down time and time again and then not being told why you're not getting the part has got to be so frustrating because I don't know if legally they can't tell you anymore. I'm not exactly sure how that works, but they're like, you may never even hear back from them. Mm. So he's been gutting it out and gutting it out and gutting it out. And on the cusp of this breakup, or I should say right after the breakup, when he's feeling so down, I was so proud of him because he picked himself up and went to an audition. So that was the win, which is really what I told him. That's the win right there is like just moving forward, small little baby steps, right? So he gets up because his instinct was to lay in bed all day, even though he had finals and he knew he couldn't do that, which he was also getting up for, which I was very proud because you're hit with something like that, so emotional, you could let the world go right by you, but the world doesn't wait for you.
No, life doesn't stop.
No, so I told him that. So not only did he get up and audition, but he got the part. So I hope you learned a whole bunch of different things about that. Okay, so that's the celebration part. Second part of this is way more fun, and I can't even come down on him for this. So he hits me yesterday, and he says, hey, can you talk tonight? And generally, oh, hold on a second. This is Kelly. This is one of Hayden's former teachers. Hey, oh. Kelly, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Or should we call you?
Sorry, go ahead.
Should we call you Miss Kelly since you're one of Hayden's former teachers?
You can call me Miss Johns. This is Kelly Johns.
Oh, hey. Oh, my God. Hey, Kelly.
Oh, hey, girl.
Hey, Kelly.
Hi.
Hi.
So I was one of Hayden's former teachers, and I just wanted to say how proud I am of him because I'm also an actor. So I know what goes into all of this, and I know all about waiting kind of for that big break. So I'm just so proud that he really stayed persistent, and I'm excited to see the film when it comes out.
Thank you. I will send him this call because I know he'll be very proud of himself. So thank you for calling.
Of course. Talk to you guys later.
Thank you. It's a brutal field, man. It really is. Imagine. And you got to handle rejection after rejection, and the Weisses don't do that well. So I get a text from him saying, hey, can you talk tonight? And I know that means one of two things. He needs money or he needs help. All right? So, our schedules just didn't line up yesterday while I'm in the car going to Hollis's game. He was in school, so I didn't get to talk to him yesterday. But when I got to Hollis's soccer game, my ex-wife Stacy was there. And she says, did you have a chance to catch up to Hayden today? And I'm like, no, we've been texting back and forth, but we haven't. And she's like, She looks down. She kind of starts to giggle. And she goes, he got his scooter stolen.
No.
Okay, so through the course of the last 3.5 years, Hayden has gone through, and this is where I can't even give him a hard time, because of my traffic accidents and boat accidents, I've had to take away his car. He crashed a bike. And now he's gone through 3 scooters.
3 scooters?
3? Oh, remember the one a couple of weeks ago he got hit by a car?
Right, it was a hit and run.
Right, the hit and run. The other one got, I can't even remember how that one got ruined. And this one, I'm not even sure if he put a lock on it or not, but this one's stolen.
Maybe you do need to lock him in a basement to keep him safe.
I'm serious. I can't even come down on him for because of all the accidents I've had with my car that I can't even go like, dude, you got to be more responsible. Because I'm the one that's driven my truck into a garage. Yeah. 3 different times.
You know what this
3 scooters, a bike, and a car, you know, in 3.5 years.
It reminds me of that commercial back in the day when the dad comes in and he found the pot under his kid's bed or whatever. And he's like, where? I learned it from you,
yeah,
dad.
Yeah.
Get it? The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Perspective is a funny thing because, of course, us average normies hear that a kid is asking for $6,000 shoes and we go, ah, that's insane. Who would ever think they could just ask their parents for $6,000 Dior shoes? But if you have access to the internet and you Google what your famous dad is worth and you see $150 million, you think you can probably swing those $6,000 shoes. Mm-hmm. So I'm talking about Ben Affleck's son, Samuel, who's 13 years old, and apparently he's pushing for his dad to buy him $6,000 Dior Air Force Ones because, you know, quote unquote, they can afford it.
You out of your mind.
So Ben Affleck is on the red carpet for South by Southwest, which is this film festival out in Austin, Texas, and he's doubling down on the fact that he is like, this is ridiculous. I am not purchasing these shoes for you. I'm rich. You're not.
Did your son start mowing the lawn for those sneakers?
That's what happens when you tell a mother they have to mow the lawn. All of a sudden, they don't want those shoes. And they're like, argh. He's like, but I always said they were tough. You have any kids? You have a 13-year-old?
I don't.
There's always some grift why I need to be. I'm like, Brett, when you do not need $1,000 shoes. He's like, we have the money. I'm like, I have the money. You're broke.
Too funny. Thank you, Ben.
Dude, that Boston came out real quick.
So I told you guys years ago, Hollis learned this lesson. You remember we were in England and he was becoming a sneakerhead?
Yep.
And I think he might have saw the shoes that you had on, those blue and white Jordans.
Uh-huh.
Like
ones,
a Carolina.
Oh, yeah. Oh, those are 11s. Okay. I think you're talking about the 11s.
I don't know what they are, but we're in London, right? And he goes by a sneaker store and we walk in there and he sees those shoes and they're $500. $500. Just a couple years ago, he's 15 or 16 years old and he's like, Dad. And I'm like, not a chance. And he said, Dad. And I said, you can get them. You can get them, but you're going to have to work them off. And we came up with a payment plan for $500. To this day, he will say, it is the worst purchase he has ever made because he had to work that thing off.
Mm-hmm.
You can't work off $6,000 worth of shoes. There's no way.
Maybe Ben Affleck pays a little more around the house. Maybe it's like $1,000 every time you take out the garbage.
Forget it.
Mm-hmm. But that's a great, I'm glad he did it though, because like what an incredible life lesson right there about finances and like what you're spending your money on.
I was kind of beating myself up. Like I kind of thought like, man, I raised a kid that could even think about like purchasing $500 pair of shoes. You're going to learn the hard way how hard it is to come by $500.
I'm not defending the kids because my dad wouldn't have did it for me and I wouldn't do it as a dad either. But sneakers do cost a lot more today than they ever have. And I do remember being in the kid's shoes feeling like when my dad told me, no, you got to work hard and you got to do this. And it always felt like, but Dad, you was the one that said you worked that hard, so I didn't have to.
Okay.
What happened to that?
That's good.
All right, Scarlett Johansson says she doesn't care if this offends people. And of course, I'm talking about taking photos in public. So I know this is kind of a contentious thing when it comes to celebrities. Like, is it rude to ask them in public for a photo? Is this kind of what they owe us because they're celebrities? You know, you're a millionaire, and the least you can do is take a photo with me in public. But Scarlett Johansson, in a recent interview, says that her rule when it comes to taking photos with people in public is that if she's not at an official event, she's not officially working, she is not taking your photo.
Good for her.
She said it really offends a lot of people. It doesn't mean I'm not appreciative, of course, that people are fans or happy to see me, but I always say to people, I'm not working. And I think that's a fair point.
Yeah, I mean, celebrities, we say this all the time. I don't know why you would sign up for that level of celebrity. But at some point or another, you do have to protect your privacy just a little bit.
I know, especially when you're Scarlett Johansson and it's happening all the time. For us, like when we go out in public and it happens like once a month, I'm like, oh my God, of course I'll stop at Kroger. But Scarlett Johansson's happening literally anytime she leaves the house. All right, Justin Baldoni is refusing to drop one person from the Blake Lively lawsuit that claims she has no business being a part of. It's on your next eBuzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.